In this episode, some of our Banking with Life clients discuss their exposure to the idea that they could control the banking function with the infinite banking concept and practical experience in becoming your own banker, as taught by my late friend and mentor, R. Nelson Nash. Now, these are unscripted and in their own words, so they may not use precise language, but they took time out of their busy lives and their full schedules to come and share with you. And I thought it was very powerful. They were very complimentary of us as a team, the Bank of Life team and some of the team members, you know, Jake, Julie, Service. And I do truly appreciate that. But those were also unsolicited. I really had fun with all of these individuals, and I think that you'll enjoy. Thank you for listening.
I'm constantly telling my kids, I mean, they're 5 and 7, but it's that dear to me that they understand. When we go swipe a credit card, I tell them, hey, remember, every time you swipe a credit card, daddy's got to go work an extra hour, okay?
Ooh.
2 hours. You know, I want them to correlate that when you swipe a credit card, that is work that has to be done. I also make sure to tell them, hey, we pay these credit cards off every single month. We don't carry balances. I mean, these are on day-to-day purchases, but they will understand. Just like what you were talking about, the person that's in debt is enslaved to the debtor. I mean, it's when you've got a loan out, you've just guaranteed what for whatever amount, you've just guaranteed that you've got to at least work that much longer and or come up with some other way to pay that back. That is not a give me. That's not a freebie. I mean, it's something that entitles you to more work. It entitles you to continue working for them. And so that's what I try to explain to them debt is about. And so with this, we have eliminated all debt. We have zero debt. We do not have a mortgage. We do not have car payments. I'm able to build spec homes. I'm able to buy equipment for our company all without going to the bank and going in debt. And that's a very empowering and a very freeing feeling. It's like my dad always says, son, don't get into a position where you have to go to work. If you get hurt, he said, you know, we can shut down and we don't have to keep this equipment working to pay it back. That's why they were always against going in debt. Now, hey, there are people out there that are going to explain how certain debt is good. Hey, to each their own. But I want to be in debt to myself. And this program has allowed that. If we do have to go in debt, I look at it as we're in debt to ourselves. And I'm not going to go into the payback features of these plans. I'm sure that you've got videos on that. But hey, it basically boils down to you make a payment when you can, if you can. I tend to do it a little differently than most. I think most would need to be disciplined enough to set up those repayments. I do it all in lump sums. We go out and we buy a piece of equipment. The company worked for a year. I took the money that equipment made and I lump sum paid my loan back.
Wow. The banker gets to do whatever he wants, right?
You get to do it. And that's why I love this program. Exactly. This home, I'm not making monthly payments back to myself on this spec home. When that spec home sells, lump sum, pay that back with interest and let's move to the next project. But it's just the parameters and the guidelines and the rules have changed when you bank with yourself, and it's amazing. And I don't know what else to say about that. I mean, it's freeing to get away from the banking system.
So these relationships with the bankers or the non-relationship with the bankers have been going on for some time.
Yes. And so I just started searching the internet and YouTube, searching for a way to just get capital for businesses that were up and running. And then I came across Banking with Life. And I started researching because it started to make sense in so many different ways. I tend to be a person that has to get 5 uses out of something, just about anything. And I kept going round and round and learning and asking myself questions and researching what made sense. And, you know, family is so important. And to be able to provide that security for my family in the event of my death, that's huge. But to also be able to accumulate cash value at the same time as a part of the same life insurance policy. Amazing. And earned interest or a dividend is my understanding. I've only been doing this for, as we mentioned, a year in August. I'm not claiming to understand all about how it works, but I understand that there's a dividend on associated with the cash value, plus the death benefit for my family, plus being able to take the loans out that don't show on my credit report to run my businesses, plural, whichever business needs it, no matter how long it's been open.
And every business needs capital.
Yes.
Every business. That's pretty cool. So keep going. I don't mean to interrupt you, but.
And I'm beginning to understand in my mind, conceptually, how cheap money is as a word. It's capital and controlling the capital.
I love that.
And maintaining our vision and moving forward cross-generationally to have all of that come together in whatever you want to call it, your own bank, life insurance, whole life insurance policy. Conceptually, so far, I'm convinced that it's what's right for me and my family.
How long, you know, when you were searching for, some type of banking for businesses, you know, how long did you, when you discovered or stumbled onto the idea of becoming your own banker, banking with life, how long did you listen and kind of research and read about that before you made a decision to, I'm going to put this into action and actually, you know, reach out and say, I want to buy a life insurance policy to become my own banker. An idea?
I would think maybe a month of just casually listening to your podcast and others.
That's pretty quick. 30 days.
I became somewhat obsessed. Mm. And
30 long days.
So I don't, maybe it was 2 to 2.5 months before I gave you a call, I would say. Okay. It's kind of hard. I don't know. I haven't looked back at that time frame. I just remember coming across your podcast and thinking, oh my goodness, this is it. It's not tied to my credit score. It doesn't matter if I've been in business 6 months, 2 years, 70 years. If I have the cash value, I am able to take that as a loan and still use that money in my businesses to produce cash flow, and it's gaining a dividend at the same time. As long as I am responsible and continue doing what I'm supposed to do with policies and loan repayments, the guarantees are there. How can that even be possible in today's world? And so I don't understand how so many people can be bad-mouthing the system, and I don't claim to know everything. All I'm saying is, so far to me, in vetting the process and in being involved in the process, everything has gone better than I thought it would.
Really? Mm-hmm. Better. I love that.
And so, again, I'm new to it. I'm not saying I know it all or that I'm headed off into the sunset. I'm just saying.
You're too young for that.
I'm just saying that. It's worked exactly the way that, number one, you said it would, the way that I anticipated that it would, and with the guarantees in place. If things went badly, they would have gone exponentially worse if I didn't have these policies in place.
And it was pretty exciting because once I wrapped my head around the financial part of how you are capturing the interest that you're paying to other companies and the magnitude of the interest that you're capturing, not realizing how much money you're spending every day or every month on your payments for going for interest, I'm thinking, wow, this has got to work. I don't see how there's any way it can't work. And it was very quickly that we started, well, and I'll be honest with you, we talked about, she freaked out at first, but you know, but at that point we had some IRAs and 401ks and all that stuff. We closed those out and we took a pretty big tax hit when we closed those out in order to start our IBC. And this was brought about the other practitioner that told us about it. I didn't know about you then. You know, I'd have been with you then, but I didn't know about you then.
It's all right.
We met later. We took a big tax hit, and then we used that money to start our program. And in doing that, we used that bank, if you will, to start buying notes on rental properties. And I think we had a truck note and something else that we had. So we started buying notes on. We would fight about that because she would say, well, you know, I sent a check to pay off the such and such rent house. No, you didn't pay it off. You may have bought the note, but you haven't paid it back. We still have to pay it back. We have to pay it back to us. And so we fought about that because it was just the nomenclature we were using. But I wanted to make sure that if we're going to take this giant step and jump into this, you know, chasm that we, you know, don't know what we're getting into, let's at least do it knowing what we're doing. So I guess you finally figured out we're paying stuff off. We're not paying stuff off. Yeah, I even said
you're just purchasing outside debt, moving into your control by, you know, collateralizing your life insurance policy.
But it started steamrolling on us because when we would buy that and we're capturing that the interest rate, that gave us more cash to buy the next note with. Yeah. And so it very quickly got to where we turned around and we didn't know anything.
I sort of say the reason I was able to get past the life insurance part of it was because I could see that if we could pay off the rental properties with the life insurance money, and I calculated how much interest we would save by doing that and paying it off in a short period of time, that's really what got me over the hump of buying life insurance.
Yeah. So looking beyond the rate that the mortgage lenders are charging and looking at the volume of interest you would have paid over those notes. Right, that's really what the opportunity is to redirect. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and of course we pay interest to the life insurance companies when we borrow their money collateralized by our cash value.
But it was amazing to me in 4 years how we were going from a lot of debt I was trying to think in 4 years we had all of our debt paid off.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I mean, that's like three rental properties, our primary residence, two automobiles. Mm-hmm. It just was amazing how that could snowball and pay all that debt off. And of course, as a female, we all liked our security, and a lot of our security is wrapped up in not having debt. So that's for females, I think that's a very emotional thing about not having debt.
I think I told you off air is I just initially purchased my I sold my vehicle back in November because I wanted to take advantage of the used car market because I'm not married to anything anymore. It's just a piece of metal and some things that are, at the end of the day, destined for a junkyard, right? So I was like, but if I can make some money on it right now, it sits in a garage, I'll make some money on it. So I ended up selling it in November. And then within like the last 3 weeks, I just replaced it. One, because I was looking for a pre-owned car, Japanese made, because of, you know, my prior history with Anheuser-Busch and reliability studies and such. But I was looking for a like kind of a range of car, but I told myself, like, this is the umbilical cord from the lender, the third party lender that I'm cutting. So I'm using policy loan for this. So like, I'm on the hook for this. Like I gotta go to myself for the money. So found the car, and it was, I don't know, it was very powerful yet uneventful, which is the way I think it should be.
Yeah.
It was
not traumatic.
No, it wasn't. No, it's a joke. It's funny, you know, but it all starts with a systematic way of accumulating capital, right? Mm-hmm. In a place that you can control. And so I just got the policy loan like 3 days. It's in my account. And, you know, I use a car broker because I hate dealerships. So I'd rather pay them like $300. And I've done this several times now. It drops off at the car, gets delivered to the house. I don't have to go to a dealership. So I'm like, $300?
Please.
I'll do that all day and like twice on Saturday.
That was a trauma that I was referring to.
So it was like, hey, what? Like the drama was, okay, where are you going to park this truck? Because I know where I live, and there's no room for like a semi, you know. Yeah. But like you'll figure it out. Yeah. And then the rest was, you know, like, well, do you need financing for this? And I was like, oh no, I'm just going to wire money. And they're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know. And I was like, I'm just wire money. Wire the money. The car gets there, and then, you know, part of being an honest banker is like, okay, well, yeah, there's great privilege in being the loan officer and the owner of the bank and the shareholder of the bank and the lender, and having, you know, getting to have all those hats all under one roof is okay. I know personally what I paid for the car, and I know that I'm probably, you know, I was just kind of estimating, okay, what payment would I be happy with? I was like, well, I mean, let's see what the market kind of generally is. So I, you know, spent like half a minute looking at used car rates and came up with, you know, like, I don't know, it was like $200 or something like that, $200 or $300 per month. And I was like, okay, well, all right, this is my bank. I'm gonna do things the way I want. So I'm gonna pay like more than three times that a month. Because for me, going back to, you know, what's been instilled in me now is, well, one, I'm doing is I've replaced that banking function that someone else had prior. So when I make, you know, like, well, on Friday, I'll make like another half of that payment that starts with a comma, just because I thought it was fun and I put like 2 seconds of thought into it. But I'm not losing control over that payment. It's not going to, you know, to a third party lender. It's going back to reduce the loan amount on my policy, which is, from my understanding, what little I know about infinite banking, is principal first. All right, so it's going to go back and pay down that policy loan, which, if I need it in 10, 15 days, because I needed that dollar amount plus my other cash value that's in there to go take advantage of an opportunity, it's there. It's not in someone else's hands. It's right over here that I can access.
There's a lot there. Did you go through the mental gymnastics of interest rates? You know, here's a policy loan, right?
No, I don't care. I don't really care anymore. And I'm a numbers guy, James. I know. I don't care anymore.
You
really
have a degree in finance and economics, sir.
I'll pencil out a real estate deal before I spend some money like that.
Sure. Well, you penciled out the deal on the car. You chose and the price and all that.
But it goes back to the teachings, like, for, you know, for that, thankfully, you know, that I continue to learn, and you get, and you and Ryan and others that have been, you know, in this chair that continue to talk about it, but it's about volume of interest and it's about control. And so I don't really care what the rate is. And I just know that
you quickly get there, and you've been there for some time. Have you been doing this 3 years, going on four? That's pretty quick. But the
real responsibility is for me to, like, to, you know, not overextend myself. Just because I have access to capital doesn't mean that every shiny object needs to be in my driveway or whatever. It's okay. What are my core principles? What's important to me? What are my financial goals, or what are my, you know, non-financial goals? And then while I'm working to achieve those, I'm pretty sure I'm going to need capital. So I need a systematic way to accumulate that. So I hear your words a lot in my thought processes now, and it's, Nelson, you know, I think I may have told you a while back, but I hear Nelson's voice the more I've listened, because I thank goodness that on our client content, you can hear a lot of his, not only I've listened to his 6.5 hour presentation, but his other talks from like Houston and some of the, like, mm-hmm. Fort Worth, I know, mm-hmm. from like 2015, 2016, is the more that I hear his cadence and his voice, and how he tells stories, you know, because he's a teacher through parables, which is mm-hmm. biblical. Yeah, it's biblical, and then too, like that's how it's very powerful.
What was your response whenever he brings up the idea of the infinite banking concept? Can I ask?
So, I was not familiar with it at all. So initially, I was pretty skeptical. But the more Mike talked to me, and again, he is passionate about reading and deep diving and doing research and stuff like that. And I definitely benefit from his interest and willingness to do all of that.
Sure.
But again, we had already been burned a couple times in our lives as far as significant downturns in the market where we lost the significant value of our 401ks and pretty much had to start from scratch again. Again, that was the only vehicle we had. Mm-hmm. So it was that or savings account. I also used to work for a bank, you know, and it's like, woo, 3% interest, you know. And so the more he explained it to me, the more reasonable it all seemed. And again, with the cancellation of our life insurance policies looming and knowing that if some of our kids needed to take over all the businesses that we have in play, like they were going to need some funding to carry them over. And so realizing that that safety net was now gone, the more Mike explained, the more this just seemed like the absolute perfect vehicle for us and the way that we like to operate. And, you know, I think one of the things Mike didn't mention is, you know, there were times that we would also take out like second mortgages or loans against the property or refinance the property in its entirety to pull cash out of that. But again, sure. Man, very time consuming. And so this just seems like the perfect vehicle. It's our money and we have access to it whenever we want. We don't have to fill out an application, go through another credit check. You know, so there's just so much freedom in that. And once it clicked in place, in my mind, it was like, I wish we would have been doing this all along. Can you just imagine where we would be financially?
How long did it take you to get there? I know you love him and trust him.
Yes. Right?
And you do benefit from his hard work and research, yes. Just like he benefits from yours. And then with the banking background, I would assume, maybe it's not safe to assume, but maybe when it comes to the losses on your 401k around 2000, 2001, then again in 2008,
I'm thinking it was more like 96 was the first one. 97, does that make sense? 95, 96, 97. You know, and when you're first starting out, you know, you have 60, 70,000 bucks in your 401k, you know, and then it goes down to 30 or 20 and you're like, oh my gosh. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Absolutely.
It's like huge impact, you know? And then of course the numbers get bigger
as you
go along with the whole thing, you know? And I just want to say one thing, you know, and you guys that can see the video, you know, she's the face of the company. She is like the underlying, you know, force behind, okay, we need to do this. We need to do it like this. She could be the mayor or the governor, not me, because I would really say what I want to say. She would be more professional about it, right?
Sure.
You know? So anyways, she's equally powerful with the whole thing. But with some of these financial concepts, you know, it's been tough for us because we've only had the tools that we've had, you know? So it's the goal is that we get our kids and us as older people set up with our own banking. Okay. Cause right now I still got to use the bank with some stuff, you know? I mean, we pulled out of that church property. I pulled a couple $100,000 out of a rental house we got because we had to put a new roof on that school building. That was 80,000 bucks, you know? And they don't finance that. You just got
to
run
the whole city block. That sounds pretty reasonable.
Oh, that was one building.
Well, that was one building.
You know, we've had to put a new roof on every single building.
I think roofing was easy, $175,000.
Yeah,
you know. So, anyways, we're still kind of sort of using the bank, but I'm back on the whole Robert Kiyosaki thing, which is kind of where I really got my mindset of some outside the box thinking. You know, I've got a renter in there. I've got a house that's worth, I don't know, $180,000. We took out $100,000 to finance some of the things we needed to do. The payment is $1,200 a month. The renter's paying $1,500 a month. touchdown.
It's just banking with real estate.
It's just banking with real estate. You know, now I would have rather have, you know, but that's what you do. You do, and you usually got to do. But we've been operating in this area of that's where we're operating. We're just trying to use all the tools we can. But it would be nice if I could fast forward and not have to use the bank at all.
Yep. That's one thing you can't shorten is time, right?
I mean, can't. Yeah.
So how long, Lori, did it? You know, did it go from, you know, I know you love and trust him and you benefit, to the statement that you said a minute ago? It's like, wow, I wish we'd have been doing this.
So Mike loves risk. Like, he runs headfirst into it. And I'm pretty conservative. Risk adverse would even be an okay way to describe me. So sometimes when he has some of these ideas, but he knows me, and you know, we've been together 35 years, however long it's been. And so he has learned how to approach me with information, right? That's a way presented in a format that I can process well. So it really only took a couple of conversations before I was, and I would come back with questions. Okay, so I've been mulling that over. And so here's three more questions now. And just, again, he was just able to explain in such a precise way for me that it just erased any doubts. And then it was just like, are you kidding? This has been available this entire time. And we've done all these other things. I just can't even imagine if we would have started with this tool. And that's when we started talking to our oldest daughter and her husband, who just relocated from Switzerland, whose plan is to ultimately take over all of our businesses. And so now they're on the fast track with all of this too, because again, they're getting a 30-year head start on where we were when we entered into this game. So we're just so excited, right, to again not only be impacting our legacy, but now we're impacting their legacy too. Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.